Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to another bumper edition of the Score programme. It's all about the Derry-Donegal rivalry this week, with sides from both counties clashing in two huge games on the GAA and soccer fronts. On Sunday, our feature with full live match commentary sees Donegal and Derry clash for the Anglo-Celt Cup. In our Ulster final preview section, we'll hear from legends from both counties. We'll be joined by Martin McHugh and Eamon Burns. There's also Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald on the Derry-Tyrone Minor final, which precedes the big game. But first up, in the SSE Airtricity League Premier Division, the latest instalment of the Northwest Derby will be played out on Friday evening at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium as Derry City host Finn Harps. That game is also live here in Highland tomorrow evening, where Dermot Doherty and former Finn Harps goalkeeper and captain Gavin Cullen will be the commentary team. Our coverage will start at 7:40. Derry, who are 7 points off the leader Shamrock Rovers, go into the game having lost their last three matches and without a win since late April. Harps, on the other hand, are at the bottom end of the table and have just 2 wins to their name this season. They sit in the playoff position, 2 points above UCD, and are 9 points adrift of third from bottom Drogheda United. To look ahead to that game this week, I've been joined by former Derry City and Finn Harps player and manager Felix Healy. Felix Healy, it's been a long time. You're welcome back to the airwaves of Highland Radio. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm actually delighted to be back. Been a while, all right. But I'd know about both yours anywhere.
And I would know yours too, so I would. But listen, Felix, there's a huge game on Friday night, Northwest Derby, Derry against Finn Harps. You've been involved in a lot of them, with both clubs being on either side of the line. They're the fixture that you always look for at the start of the year, isn't it, is the derby between the two?
You're always conscious of the travel that's involved for a start and trying to work out arrangements at the start of the season. And you're always looking to see when that's going to come up. Given nowadays, it seems to be, you play each other 4 times, so maybe it's not, there's so many other things involved nowadays. But it is one of those fixtures that you keep an eye out. It's always a tasty and a feisty affair.
Yeah. And the two sides this season, as they go into the game, in recent weeks, things haven't been going their way. Harps obviously at the bottom of the table, Felix, with just 2 wins. But Derry go into the tie off the back of 3 defeats. They haven't had a victory since the end of April. So would there be more pressure maybe on Derry going into this game on Friday night?
I think that Derry, the general feeling around Derry at the minute is that they're glad, given what's happened over the last couple of weeks, they're glad they're at home, they're glad they're playing Harps. That seems to be the general impression that I'm getting from a number of people. But Derry haven't played as badly as results have gone in the way in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Rory Higgins has said that this week. They deserve more points than they've got. They should never have lost against Rovers. The game against Dundalk could have gone either way. The game against Sligo could have gone either way. And that's the way it's gone. But they lost all three. But I don't think Rory can complain, because the same thing happened earlier in the first series of matches where Derry, I think, scored 3 goals, possibly 4 goals in injury time and won 4 games where we could have quite easily have drawn the matches. And should have drawn the matches I've seen. So it's been twinkling roundabouts. Whereas on the other end of it, Harps have only won 2 games. Both have actually been against Shelburne. And they are struggling. And they're very detached at the bottom of the league. And they're coming off a couple of really bad results against Drogheda and losing at home against UCD was particularly... UCD were the Brandywell can beat 7, and I saw bits and pieces of that on television and spoken to a number of people who were there who said it's the worst League of Ireland team they've seen in a lifetime. And for UCD to go to Ballybofey and win would have been a real killer blow for Ollie and the team. But sometimes when you go to a derby match, form goes out the window, so to speak. But I wouldn't imagine that training would be great for both clubs this week. When you're losing matches, the old atmosphere, the training ground changes completely. Different questions are being asked of the players. And it's how you react to what's happened, and you've got to show a bit of character, and that's certainly going to be what both managers will be looking for tomorrow night.
Yeah. Obviously, Derry at the top end of the table. What has impressed you with the Candy Stripes this year, Felix? Looks to be that Rory Higgins, it was a good move by the board to bring him in. He brought in some quality players as well. What has been the most impressing factor from your point of view in relation to the manager and the team that he's there?
Well, it's, you know, in this, unfortunately, in this day and age of football, you're only as good as the money you have at your disposal. I mean, that's at every level of the game. Manchester City have won the Premier League in England, and they've won it because they spent more money than everybody else. It's not necessarily, the manager knows what he's doing, yes, and Rory Higgins has done a good job, but he spent a hell of a lot more money. You know, he's probably spent more money at the club this year than they've possibly spent in the entire history. So he's got better players to pick from. The one thing about the team is they've got great energy about them. And I think it's very telling that in a number of games recently, quite a number of observers have suggested that it looked very leg-weary. Which is a bit strange at this time of year, but they play with at times a lot of real energy, get about the pitch. You know, you probably saw some of the games Shamrock Rovers. They never let Shamrock Rovers get into the match at all, and you know should have come away from Tallaght with something from that match. And that has been the energy and getting about the pitch. But I still think, and I've said this recently, I still think they're searching for what their best 11 is, and you know, real patterns of play and getting somebody to orchestrate things in the middle of the park. The Duffy injury has been a real... to catch Shamrock, for anybody to catch Shamrock Rovers was going to be incredibly difficult. And I thought that Derry had a chance. They did a great start, thought that their best player I felt was going to be Duffy, and I thought he was a great signing. But once he got injured, I thought the chance of them winning the league was not going to happen, you know. And that's turned out to be the case. But he's got much better players, but they've had a real energy. And when the like of Patching and McElhinney, who again has been, you know, I feel sorry for young Patching McElhinney because he's had so many injuries to deal with. But when those guys would be firing, they've got real quality. Have we seen it often enough? I'm not too sure. But certainly at times they have shown bits and pieces of real quality. But I think they're just that wee bit short of where Shamrock Rovers are. And to be fair, I think the frightening thing in an overall sense, Oisin, is that Shamrock Rovers are 7 points clear and they haven't really kicked it yet. They haven't really clicked into gear. And Bradley's chopping and changing the team every week.
Yeah.
But for Harps on the other side of it, it's going to be one of those issues where it's always a battle with Harps year in, year out. I don't know how Ollie keeps going.
If you reflect maybe back on your time in Harps, it was you obviously won the league with Harps, so you did, Felix, and then you returned as director of football. If you were to compare the league back then, even going back to 2004 to where it is now, has the league actually progressed on, in your view?
Do I think the league has progressed? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I don't think. There's so many... I could start on a rant here that could last for 3.5 days, but that's another story. Some people tell you the game's changed. I just think the game hasn't changed at all. There are certain things about it that have changed, I mean, I'll give you an example, a very small example. I think there's enormous stupidity in football nowadays. I mean, the idea that a League of Ireland team should be trying to play the same way as Manchester City or Liverpool is, I think, is idiotic. I think the teams in the League of Ireland who are trying to play from the back inside their own 18-yard box because Manchester City and Liverpool are doing it, I think it's ludicrous. But that's just one of many things I think are ludicrous about football. I mean, the idea that Liverpool and Manchester City have spent hundreds of millions of pounds buying footballers who are able to do that. To think that everybody else, and particularly clubs in this league in Ireland, never mind, there are other teams in the Premier Division in England who can't do it, never mind teams in the League of Ireland, who think they can go and do that, I think it's absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of things about football, I think, are incredibly silly. Yeah. Incredibly silly. So you're asking me, have things changed? Yeah, I just think they're getting worse. So anyway, I could go on a rant for a couple of days.
Yeah, I remember you going on rants before, Felix, so and we could have followed just a full 4-hour show with it. so we could have. But listen, back to the fixture tomorrow night. Derry against Harps. If Harps are going to cause what they say as an upset in the Derby, if there is such thing as an upset in the Derby, and Harps were to win tomorrow night, how would they go about it? What needs to happen?
Well, Drogheda beat Shamrock Rovers the other night. And Drogheda beat Shamrock Rovers, and most people who were at the game would tell you that Rovers weren't great. But Drogheda have one shot and scored. And that's what you normally find. Then Harps tomorrow night will probably get one or two chances. They've got to take them, and they've got to defend well, and their keeper's got to do well. Now, that's usually the case. That's just not for tomorrow night's match, but that's in general. You will normally find that sometimes when there's a real upset in a match, it's 1-0, you'll find when there's a real upset, somebody's upset because, let's say, for example, Brighton went to Manchester City and won 1-0. You'll find that Brighton had one shot, scored, and put a left, parked a couple of buses in front of the goal. And that's the way I see Hubs winning the match. Might be the set piece or something like that. But that's what you're sort of hoping. And I mean, that's what I would think that, I mean, if Ollie's going into the match tomorrow night, that's what he's probably thinking as well. You know, if we get one or two chances, we've got to take them and we've got to defend really well. And Derry have gone off the boil a bit recently in terms of set pieces. Patching from set play is as good as there is. I mean, he scored a wonderful free kick. I was at the game at Sullivan Play last year when Patchin scored a free kick that was really top drawer in any league, and he can be lethal from that. But Seth pieces, Derry put a lot of work into that.
We'll see how it develops and pans out on Friday night in the Derby, Felix. Listen, good to get talking to you again. As we said at the start, it's been a while. Hopefully it won't be as long the next time. Thanks for joining us on Highland Radio Sport, Felix.
All right, Austin. Thank you very much.
There you go. Former Harps and Derry manager and player Felix Healy speaking to me earlier today to look ahead to the big derby. As we now turn our attention to Gaelic games, Donegal and Derry will face off on Sunday in Clonus for the Ulster Senior Football Championship title. Declan Bonner's side are looking to take a third senior crown under his management and a first since 2019, while Derry are back in the final for the first time since 2011 and are chasing a first Anglo-Celt Cup since 1998. I've been looking ahead to the game with our big match analyst and 1992 All-Ireland winner Martin McHugh. So Martin, looking ahead to an Ulster final, there's a lot of hype around this game. It's been a long time since I suppose Donegal, and in particular as well, Derry supporters have had so much hype around a fixture.
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of theories on it. I suppose one is the fact of Rory Gallagher having managed Donegal and having trained Donegal in the past and now managing Derry. I suppose, you know, well, it was a great rivalry. Way back in the early 90s, the rivalry with Donegal and Derry was just as bad as the rivalry between Donegal and Tyrone would have now. So the rivalry was brilliant at him. It was brilliant at him. It was created a great buzz and everything else, and the two teams were doing really well. I think the other thing, there's a lot of hype in Derry, definitely now. I haven't been in Derry or anything else, but I'm just hearing what people are saying, that, you know, tickets are sold out right away and they weren't expecting that to happen, and there's great hype, and they think that you know, maybe not alone to one Ulster, but they think they have a team coming, and they have underage players coming afterwards. There's a lot of work going in with the underage and everything else. There are minors in the final as well, and the minors won the All-Ireland, 2 years ago, whatever. So Derry are excited, and, you know, rightly so, because this is a young team that they have that's playing on Sunday, and as well as that, as I said, they've good backing and everything else. So yeah, it's exciting times ahead for Derry, no doubt about. Club football has been strong in Derry, and they definitely seem to have, Rory Gallagher seems to have united the whole clubs in Derry, which was a big thing for them to do, to get them all, when they play for the county, playing for the county. We probably never had that problem in Donegal, lucky enough.
Yeah, well, what about Donegal? There's huge hype as well. The entire county's looking forward to this one, Martin, particularly when you're taking on your neighbours. 10 finals in the last 12 years. Donegal are looking to add what would be an 11th senior title if they take victory. Obviously, it's precious to Donegal and Declan Bonner to lift in silverware. Can you see the hunger, or feel the hunger around the county, maybe, Martin, ahead of this one?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're under a fair bit of pressure going into the Armagh game. We had a really good league campaign, which maybe is no harm. We see the Clare Hurlers there, for instance. They had a very poor league campaign and everybody's writing them off. And now people, you know, they're really going well in the championship. Where Waterford had a good league campaign in the hurling and now are gone in the championship. So sometimes you can just, you know, limp your way through the league and then get into the championship and stay as we have stayed in Division 1 and everything else. So I just think looking at it, Oisín, is from a Donegal point of view, it's a big game for Donegal. We're probably an older team than Derry maybe at the minute. We need to win this maybe, you know, more so than Derry, because I think this Derry team will come. But from Donegal's point of view, I think it's be important, because, you know, we're kind of thereabouts, knock on the door. We have never got to an All-Ireland semi-final since 2014. So I think we need to get to that All-Ireland semi-final this year if we're going to make progress in that there. So, yeah. Bit of pressure that way on Donegal. There is a fair bit of hype in Donegal, but it's great. I mean, that's what you're after saying, Oisín. 10 Ulster finals in 12 years, like for a county, Donegal, you know, we're not one of these big traditional GAA counties in Ireland. That's a massive achievement, and we really, really should enjoy it. I think if we could win the game on Sunday, then Michael Murphy would be lifting the Anglo Celt for the sixth time or something. And yeah. I mean, that is an unbelievable achievement if that can happen. So, you know, please God, everything goes well on the day and we can achieve that. And then, you know, definitely with the backdoor system the way it is now, with the, you know, a lot of the weaker teams gone from the Division 3 and 4, you're better if you can go through the front door, because it's going to be wild hard for the loser of a provincial final, particularly the Ulster one and maybe the Connacht one, because, I mean, the other two, maybe Dublin and Kerry, are expected to win them. But it's going to be hard to lift yourself for the loser of the Ulster and Connacht final to lift themselves for a backdoor game.
Could that be the telling factor in the game come the end? Because Derry haven't been there since 2011. It's routine that Donegal's in them. The fact that they've played on the big day on so many occasions, coming into the closing stretch, the final stretch, could that be the telling factor, Martin?
Yeah, you know, you would hope it will. There are times, you know, things go differently. You know, I remember the year we won the All-Ireland in 92, you know, we weren't given a chance going into the game, and we end up performing really well on the day. So it depends on how the hype would say in Derry, deal with Derry. They're definitely, you're right about Donegal. There's a lot of experience there. A lot of these players have played in Ulster finals. They've been involved in Ulster finals. You know, the management have been involved all in Ulster finals and big games as well. Even Stephen Rogers' point of view, All-Ireland finals and everything else. So they have a great experience there, right? And that, hopefully, that will make the difference. You know, will the hype get to Derry? And it's very hard to control the hype. It's very, very hard to go. Now, in saying that, Rory Gallagher, probably the hype got to Fermanagh a couple of years ago. I mean, they were completely gone mad in Fermanagh that him when they won the Ulster final against Donegal, and he probably, that experience will help him as well, Rory Gallagher, from a manager point of view, to try to keep the players away from it. But it is very hard to keep players away from the whole hype of the thing, and there is, for, you know, underdogs against Tyrone, underdogs against Monaghan. Now people in Derry are expecting them to win, you know, expecting them to deliver and win. So that's what's going to make it, you know, make it a wee bit, there'll be a wee bit more pressure on them than maybe they were in the first two games, how they cope with that there and everything else. But they are very kind of a, you know, they've won club championships, they've won a lot of underage, so they're well used to winning that bunch of Derry players as well. So look at, if you were neutral, it'd be a game you'd really be looking forward to. Is it going to be a good game, Oisín? That's another question.
Well, how do you think it's going to go?
Well, I've...
Is there going to be free-flowing football? Not expecting that with Rory Gallagher and the way he plays it. How's Donegal going to set up? Is it going to be a really low-scoring Ulster derby, Martin? What are you expecting on Sunday?
listen, the big question, I suppose, is that when Monaghan saw what Derry did against Tyrone, I mean, you make a decision, do you mirror them and keep yourself in the game? I think if Donegal are level at half time, I think Donegal won the match. Derry are going to, I think Derry, the way they play, they're going to need this maybe to get a lead, to get a goal. They've got goals and important goals in the two games to get date. So I think it'll be a very cagey first half, especially. I think Donegal's will sit very, very tight and they'll keep possession of the ball and they'll try to get Derry to come out and come at them. And it'll be a wee bit like maybe the 14 All Ireland final where Kerry sat and let Donegal come to a stage and then met them. And that's kind of a game. I think it'll be a very cagey game, but it's all about winning. I don't think it's going to be the purest or it's going to be one of the best provincial finals. I'd be shocked if it ends up being one of the better provincial finals. Yes, it'll be different tactically and it'll be everybody will be watching from that point of view how the tactics go and everything else. But I think especially early on, it's going to be very cagey and I wouldn't be surprised if it was about 7-6 at half time or 7-7 at half time.
Yeah. Donegal need to go ahead in this game if they're going to curb what happened in the last two matches that Derry were involved in, Martin. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, you'll be right there. I think if Donegal even ahead or get level, as I said, at half-time, but if Donegal get into the lead and make Derry come at them, that's when then Donegal, you control the game then. You control your pace of the game, the way you want to play the game and everything else. See, Derry will want to, what they're doing is getting most players back and then breaking quickly with a lot of pace, and they've got a lot of pace. So to counteract that there, you probably should leave maybe five men back and don't go forward and meet them as they come along. Then if you do get turned over to someone and keep the ball and everything else. So from that point of view, I think if Donegal get into the lead, then that could come down to free kicks and everything else, you know, which would be very important. Kickouts are going to be important as well, but free kicks and everything else. So yeah, I think if Donegal get into the lead, they will have, you know, Derry will have to have plan B, or they'll have to have something different to say to come at Derry. If Donegal get into that 2-3-4 point lead, there's no better team in Ireland, and there's never been a better team than Ireland, and keeping them that 3 or 4 point lead, they know that they're, that, you know, people even say a 1 point lead, Donegal can wind down the clock and get over the line with it. So if Donegal get into the lead, you'd be very hopeful that Donegal won the match.
Yeah. Big games, you want your big players to step up. Who are you expecting big performances from at the weekend, Martin?
Look, what you expect performances, you know, what you want from everybody is, you know, we don't expect everybody, you know, to perform at the highest level. You can't get the 15 or 18, 20 players that are going to be at that level. All you want is them to be consistent, you know, just, you know, when you're not going well, to still be consistent enough that you're still doing your bit for the team, and that's it. And some of them is going to be marked and they're going to be targeted and they're going to be everything else on both teams, and you're going to have that. There's going to be some big battles. You know, I think, you know, you're going to have maybe Brendan Rodgers will probably pick up Michael Murphy. He did when Michael Murphy came on last year against Derry, Brendan Rodgers went on him straight away. So I'll be shocked if that doesn't happen. And then with Chrissy McCaig on McBearty. Now they could switch it around, because in the Ulster club, which was very interesting, when Kilcare played Sloughneil, Brendan Rodgers actually marked Paddy McBearty that day. Paddy McBearty got man of the match or kicked 10 points, but Brendan Rodgers had a big, big game as well. Both of them had massive games, you know, the two of them against each other. Now, will they go with that, or will they go with putting Chrissy McCaig, who did a good job on Paddy McBearty last year, other than Paddy getting that 1 point at the end, which is a fabulous score. I mean, that's a great, mentally very good sign of an individual that's not maybe playing well and still kicks a massive score. So the matchups then you're going to have, I think the big one is who Donegal put on Gareth McInnes. I think that's the biggest call. You know, people are saying maybe Hugh McFadden mightn't start. I think we're going to need Hugh McFadden, because in that defensive role, more so than ever, because he does a lot of work. I look back at the Cavan game and he wasn't as bad as maybe as people thought he was. And looking at the game, he put in a Trojan bit of work. He gets in tackles and he covers that centre, and we're going to need that. So are they going to maybe start Keelan McGonigal to play on Gareth McInnes, because they normally give him the job of a marking midfielder? It's very hard to know. I think it's a
if big, he does that, does it open the hole at the back?
Well, it could, because, you know, Keelan goes forward, Jason McGee likes playing forward. Now, then do we take a forward back and play maybe another forward back? They're big calls to make, but, you know, when you look at Derry and watch them, you analyse them, you say to yourself, you know, them five players that they have, big players, Glass is, you know, a big player for them, massive player. He gets in tackles, he gets in work, he's a leader in the field. They've Rodgers going to try to put Michael Murphy probably on the back foot. That's what they'll try to do. And Conor McCluskey maybe try to put Jamie Brennan on the back foot. That's what they'll try to do and push forward and put them under pressure. Now, if Donegal can turn that over, we have a different situation, Oisín. But I think Gareth McInnes, I was at the game and I was down the sideline at the two games, close enough to Derry's two games. And I think the big thing with them is Gareth McInnes is a big, big player with his pace and his ability. He's a very, very talented player. And I think we're going to have to man-mark him. You just have to do that. Like Monaghan made a call not to do that. I think we're just going to have to do that. The player's going to sacrifice himself, whoever it is, to actually pull him out of the game, I think. And that'll go a long way from us. Then the other big one is the Shane McGuigan factor. I think Steve McMenamin, who came out to mark Yairis McKiernan, I think we'll put Steve McMenamin will come out to mark him, and I think that's the right player for him. You need a physically strong player on him. He's a very, very talented player, very talented footballer.
Who do you put in McInnes?
Cavan people we were chatting about, and they were saying they might put even Ryan McHugh on him, but Shane Carey wasn't physically strong. Is Ryan McHugh strong enough for him? I don't know. You know, do we just make a decision to put it, as I said, putting out doubt? Do you put Owen Van Galler out on him? Do you do that? It's very hard to know we do, but I definitely the way he plays, he's going to play in the middle of the field, Oshie, and he's going to push forward, and then he's going to drop back and cover his defence. That's what he does. So he's a player, I think you can't let him, even when he drops back, you have to follow. I think you have to have a player with him. I think that's where Monaghan got caught, that when he went back, they let him go and they tried to pick him up then. It's harder to pick a player up when he comes out in his own out of defence in that situation. He's kind of their sweeper, the player that plays as sweeper plays, because he naturally played centre-back last year against us and had a big game last year against us. So maybe Owen McFadden Ferry. Yep. To midfield on him, directly on him to mark him. I don't know what
it'll be. Is the pace for him?
Yes, it's going to be an interesting call on him anyway. Because McInnes is, I manage McInnes in Jordanstown. His strength is not in the air or anything that. His strength is his pace, his ball control, his ability. And, you know, he's playing really, really on top of his game at the minute. He's really, really on top of his game at the minute.
Yeah. So we wait to see what the selection is going to be and who's going to pick up who. I know, Martin, you're very much into the kickouts and the goalkeepers. Two big factors on both sides.
Yeah, it's massive, and I think it's definitely advantage Donegal with Sean Patton. I think just we have an advantage there, and that's, I think, a big advantage. And I think it's one thing that Rory Gallagher's management team will be fearful enough of. So they could give us the kick out, because they could be fearful enough that if they push very hard on us, that he could go long and he'd be very dangerous if Donegal go long. Now, that's a decision. You know, there'll be a lot of thought put into that there, because, you know, there's no better keeper in the country to go long than Sean Patton. And I think Oran Lynch is doing well for them, but he's not a natural keeper. You see, he's only been an outfield player turned into a goalkeeper. And if you look at Derry the last two games, they're going long all the time with the kickouts, because the day they played Galway, they got hit with 2-4 with short kickouts. So I'd say they're taking no chances. And I'd say Derry, most of Derry's kickouts, unless Donegal make a decision to give them the kickout completely, other than that, Derry will be going long with their kickouts. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. What level of performance is Donegal going to need to put on Sunday if they are to get their hands on the Anglo Celtic again, Martin? Would it be fair to say that, yes, they had a big showing against Armagh? The other side of that is maybe Armagh didn't show their full potential that day in Balbofey. Aside from that, will Donegal probably need their best performance that they've had in several years if they are going to win on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you're right. They're going to need a big performance, Donegal. They're going to have, when you're coming up against a team, this young, hungry, fit Derry team, and you know that wants success, you have to match that. And then when you match that, so we're going to have to match it with hunger. Every player's going to be up for it, marking their men, forwards especially, doing the job and everything else. And you know, that's the first thing they have to do. And then when you do that, then it's down to a battle then. So I think, you know, when we look at it, we're going to have to, we don't know. We can't tell what Armagh were like. We just don't know. They were very, very disappointing. They were expecting a lot of things from them. I thought they carried too much pressure in the game, Armagh. I think they're a better team with maybe not an impression. We won't know that till we see Armagh in Tyrone meeting in the preliminary round. And I think you're right. We're going to need a big, big performance that we haven't produced this year yet. But we know it's in the team. It's in the team. We have a lot of very naturally talented footballers. And when you have a bunch of very naturally talented footballers, you're always in a game. And we are going to need, you know, we are going to need bigger performances from players and everything else. And I think, you know, I definitely think it's there. I think it's a good game to be going into, because there's a lot of talk about Derry. More talk, we say, in the country about Derry than there are about Donegal. And that's maybe not a bad thing from a Donegal point of view. But it's going to be a warm day, so the bench is going to be important and everything else. And I think maybe we've a wee bit more strength on the bench than they have. So I think that might be a wee bit of advantage to us as well. So that's going to make a big difference. So, yeah, you would have to think, if we perform anyway, you know, up to what we're capable of performing, we're going to need that. I think we'll be good enough to get over the line if we do that. But I wouldn't underestimate this Derry team.
Okay, we'll see how it all pans out, Martin, and unfolds on Sunday afternoon. There is, of course, four other provincial deciders taking place this week as well. Connacht, first of all, Galway, Roscommon, bit of an intriguing tie in the West, Martin.
Yeah, a hard game to call. But you'd feel, Oisín, that it's very hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. And Roscommon beat Galway in the league game that didn't really matter, and then beat them in the league final, which did probably matter. Beat them in the league final. Very hard to do it. Home advantage, I think, just, I would be saying I'd be going for Galway there. I think they have more potential for it. I think they could be, if they won the Connacht, they'll be a very dangerous team down the road. And they avoid Dublin and Kerry in a semi-final if they keep winning.
Yeah. Dublin are playing Kildare in the Leinster final. Obviously, there's a bit of history between those two sides from the league earlier. Dublin were relegated. Don't rule the Dubs out of the championship, Martin, and everybody's talking about Kerry. So they are. But Dublin are quite happy just to continue on their way. And it's not going to be a major statement if they beat Kildare by winning the Leinster championship. But further down the line, don't be ruling out the Dubs. Is that fair enough?
Oh, yeah, fair enough, Oisin. And, you know, I think they could, you know, it'll not be a big statement, as you said, but if they beat them by 10 to 12 points, which they're capable of doing, then they're making a big statement. I think the Dubs they're my favourites for the All-Ireland. I still think they're the best team in the country. And I think them and Kerry in the semi-final. Talk about not being able to get tickets for the Ulster final. It'll be quite hard to get tickets for that match if it happens that Kerry and Dublin meet in the All-Ireland semi-final. But I think you're right. I think Conor Callan back. The trip to Portugal has definitely united them together completely. Whatever was missing is there now with the management, the players and everything. So this is a very united Dublin team, and they look to all got their hunger back. And I think in Dean Rock, they have the most underrated footballer in the country. I think it's hard to believe you're playing what he's achieved and everything else, but I think he's a valuable player to them. And I expect an easy enough Dublin victory because of the league as well. Kildare beating them in the league as well. I think that's a wee bit of motivation that they really didn't need.
Okay. We've seen a horse win at 300-1 this week, Martin. Is there any hope at all of Limerick beating Kerry and Munster?
No, 300-1 right now. No, listen, you'd have to say that it's, you know, Limerick are probably already looking at themselves. They're happy enough to have got to the final, so they stay in the Sam Maguires, they get another game out of it. You know, they'll be wanting to put up a good performance. We'll want to see what Kerry are. Will they get the likes of, you know, Paul Murphy on the field and everything else, Sean O'Shea. Paul Geaney didn't start the last, he carried a bit of injury. He'll be trying to get, what Kerry will be trying to do is get what he feels is best 15, subs coming off the bench on the field and everything else. And, you know, a bit of pressure in Kerry, but this game, you know, Limerick are great and they're brilliant what they've achieved. It's been unbelievable what they've achieved, Limerick. And they're not a bad side, but, you know, you can't see them coming within 10 points of Kerry.
Okay. So you've called Galway, you've called Dublin, you've called Kerry. What are you calling Donegal, Derry, Martin?
Yeah, when I saw Derry against Monaghan, I was very fearful coming down the road that day. I just had to say, this is, I've seen someone, you know, really different here. You know, as I said, I think they have five of the best players in Ulster, if not five in the country, that every team in the country would take. And they're really strong players. And from that point of view, now the closer I get to the game, I think that from a tactical point of view, and everything else is going to be a big game. And I think they're no better team than Donegal to do that. The fact that Derry went so close to Donegal last year, all that should be, you know, help Donegal. It's a hard game to call, but, you know, if you had your last Euro, I've had my last Euro, I would just put it in Donegal. I think you said it early on, Oisín. Experience is going to be a big factor. How Derry cope with the whole hype of the thing, even going in and marching behind a band. I know it from my own playing times. Just wee things that are different. It doesn't matter how well you prepare. Wee things that are very different. And Rory Gallagher and the management team haven't seen these players in this situation yet. And they might think they've everything covered and everything else. But all of a sudden on the day, with a big crowd, the massive Derry support, all support from their clubs and everything else there, and everybody coming home from Merrick and everything, that's pressure. And that just might tip the balance, that experience of playing in 10 of the last 12 Ulster finals. I think that just that little bit of experience will tip the balance. But I think it's going to be very close, Oisín, and it's going to be... an exciting last 5 minutes, like we had in the ladies' final last Sunday as well.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one other thing, Oisín. 1972, we won our first Ulster Championship. 1982, we won our first All-Ireland. And 1992, we won the senior All-Ireland. 2012, we won the second All-Ireland. 2022, I think any year in with a two is good for Donegal, Oisín.
So that's the prediction of Martin McHugh. Derry, as we know, have been starved of senior success in Ulster since 1998. The Oakleaf County have had a stunning campaign this year with wins over All-Ireland champions Tyrone and Monaghan. This weekend, Donegal are standing in the way of the Derrymen and the Anglo-Celt Cup. 93 All-Ireland and two-time Ulster winner Eamon Burns has been telling Tom Comack that he thinks there's another big performance in Derry, which could give the county an 8th senior crown.
Well, Eamon, when I spoke to you ahead of the first round game against Tyrone, you were pretty hopeful and maybe even slightly, well, I'm not sure confident, but you were expecting a big performance and you certainly got it. And I'm not sure if you felt that they were going to go as far as they have.
No, I did feel confident against Tyrone, Tom, and we got more than we bargained for, you know. Things went really well for us that day against Tyrone. You could say it was a bad day for them with the sentence off and whatnot. So, but no, they really stepped up to the plate that day. And then, with the second day of struggling the last decade to put back-to-back performances together. So, obviously, then the Mullen one was probably even sweeter. The fact that we were able to play as well, get as good a start again. And then, you know, when Mullen did get their purple patch, we were able to stem that off and get back and win the game. So that was something, you know, was up in the stand with the family, and it was incredible to be celebrating a semi-final victory, really. But that just shows you that, you know, we've been starved of success in Derry for the last long time, and there's a lot of supporters down in the pitch and whatnot. So it was great, but obviously there's no silverware home with us yet, Tom, you know.
And tell me, has the two-game run generated much interest in Derry?
Serious interest, serious demand for tickets now. You know, it hasn't been seen in many years, maybe back to the 1990s, Tom. You know, in my own club, we ordered 650 tickets, you know, which is a serious for balancing alone. Serious interest generated in the county. You know, it's 11 years since we won an Ulster final. It's 20 years since we won an Ulster title. Both those games were against Donegal, so it's really captured the mood, and it's great to see. But obviously, you know, Donegal are well seasoned. That's their something like incredible 10th final in 12 years, so I'd say it was nowhere near the same build up for Donegal, but that doesn't mean that you know, once they hit the pitch, both sides are, it's 0-0, so really what the supporters think or what they're doing means nothing at that stage, Tom, you know.
And tell me, in terms of you know, producing three big performances in a row, you know, people are saying maybe, you know, I suppose that's the question mark about them. It was the question mark about Derry after the performance against Tyrone, but Monaghan had seen, as I said, the genie was out of the bottle, but they still produced the performance. Can they do it for a third Sunday?
Well, I'm hopeful, Tom, yeah. I'm very hopeful. I think they, you know, the serious momentum to go in the league. The one blip then, obviously, was, there was two blips, I suppose. There was a common match where Shane McGuigan got sent off. But then the Galway game, and I'm sure that the Donegal management have been studying closely what happened there. You know, what we were without Shane McGuigan that day, we couldn't get a kick out the way that day. So, but apart from those blips, you know, we built up a serious momentum. Very unlucky not to qualify for Division One. And look, I know the team have trained really, really, really hard, and there's continuity. I know Gallagher doesn't make many changes, you know, and the 17 or 18 boys that are featuring have been featuring week in, week out. So I think there's momentum there. But obviously Donegal, you know, having a no bad season, had a great, fabulous one really against Armagh, when many people were fancying Armagh. So it's not going to be easy. And I say, many of those Donegal players have got Ulster titles under the belt in, you know, 2018 and 2019. So, you know, many people will be tipping them because of the experience. But I'm sort of hoping that Derry's freshness and the serious effort they've put in and the momentum they have will see enough for them to get through, Tom, you know.
You mentioned the Galway game there. The one thing Galway done that no other team had done up to then was push up big time on the kick out and put Derry under, or in Lynch, under serious pressure, and it coughed up two goals. You know, Monaghan did the same. Now it didn't yield the same result. So is that a concern, or do you think that's been ironed out?
No, yeah, it was a concern at the time, you know, but, like, you know, this Derry management team, you know, with Geller and Ciarán Mina and the Muldoon and the boys, you know, there's a serious attention to detail, and there's no doubt that whilst Donegal will be looking at that, that Derry have, you know, worked on the weaknesses there. So, Mullen got a lot of the kick-outs against Derry, but Derry defence was really difficult to score against, you know. They put serious pressure on them, and there was a lot of, the Mullen shot a lot of wides, you know. So it'll be interesting, you know, will Donegal get as many scoring opportunities as Monaghan? But, you know, I'm hopeful that the defence will be able to put them under the same sort of pressure, because, you know, we've got really disciplined, experienced defenders there that are able to make it difficult, you know, without going over the top and fouling. You know, like Chrissy McCaig and Rogers and McGrogan, you know, those are, you know, seasoned, especially two Slaney alien seasoned defenders, and they're playing at the top of the game. So it's going to be interesting. I think Donegal is going to really press Oran Lynch's kickouts and try and win those. But we'll see how much success that deals for them, you know.
And where do you feel Derry can punish Donegal?
Well, you know, I'm hopeful Shane McGuigan's going to be in top scoring form. He was the last day. Obviously, my own club did. Benny Hearn, who's been toiling with Derry for 10 years, scored two great goals. He's always been a great goal-getter at club level, and he was very unlucky last year against Donegal for two goal chances. One of them was well saved, one of them came off the crossbar. So I was delighted for him the last day, and look, he's always a goal threat. We, Niall Toner from Navi, has stepped up the plate well when he's come in his last couple of games. And obviously, I'm hoping that Niall Lohan's going to be fit, Tom. He's an excellent scoring forward too, but I'm just not, you know, I felt as if he tore his hamstring, and then apparently his scan showed it wasn't torn. So I'm hopeful that he's going to be fit, you know, because it'd be a big loss for Derby if he wasn't fit to play, you know. So, but obviously, people will be looking to, people are talking about Gareth McInnes coming from halfback. All the halfbacks are really good coming forward, Tom. You know, all the Derry halfbacks, and Conor Doherty was man of the match against Tyrone. Conor McCluskey was excellent, you know, and I can't see against Monaghan, I can't see Donegal sort of get the freedom of the park really against Monaghan, you know, and that was unexpected. Nearly popped up for a goal himself, you know. So they've got really good raiding halfbacks, so that's where hopefully we'll do damage, Tom. But we'll see. I'm sure Donegal will be well planned for all those things too, you know.
And where do you see the biggest threat coming from Donegal?
Well, they've good scoring forwards, haven't they? And, you know, long range forwards. You know, you've got your obviously McBrady and Michael Murphy is well known about. You've got, you know, you've got Langan. You've got O'Donnell. You know, so. Look, I'm sort of hoping that we'll, you know, Rogers and Chrissy McKay can do a job on Murphy and Paddy McBrady, and then possibly that would be enough for us to score more than Donegal and get a victory. But we still have loads of boys to watch out for, obviously, and it'll be interesting to see, you know. It'll be interesting to see who marks Shane McGuigan. I suppose maybe McCall. There's just been some talk about McGee coming back in, but I'm not sure about that, so. We'll see, but I'm hopeful that Derry has the personnel there to overcome Donegal on this occasion, Tom. But it's been a long wait, you know. So for Donegal, it's possibly their experience might tell. I'm not sure.
And in terms of the style, obviously the defending numbers and break, that's their game. Do you see any change to that?
No, that's going to be the style. That's the style, Tom. You know. You know, we watched against Tyrone where all 15 came back behind the ball and then they felt their way into the game. So, you know, the tendency was to keep the other team at bay for the first few 5 minutes, and then the searing pace, you know, break at pace. And if you get a score on the board, if you get a couple of scores on the board, they've been fit to keep that going. Now, the worry, obviously, from the Derry point of view, it's been brilliant. They've got two great starts against Tyrone and Monaghan. The worry is that, you know, if Donegal get a few scores on the boards early on and they have to chase the game, and that opens it up a bit more for Donegal, well, you know, that's the worry. It's worked to our benefit the first two times where we've been able to defend and then get the scores in the break, get the lead, and that's been what's happened. But so if that changes, that's the only worry I have, Tom, you know, in terms from the Derry point of view, you know.
If you had a spare fiver on Saturday evening, I know your heart will say Derry, but if you had a spare fiver on Saturday evening, where would you put it?
I know. I just feel maybe it's Derry's time this time, Tom. I probably would put the fiver on Derry, but as I say, that's going to have to be earned. He's Ulster titles. you know, they're hard come by, and that's a long time. It's 20 years since we've had one, so I feel as if maybe it's our turn this time around, but it's going to be a hell of a match, I think, you know.
Well, Eamon, it's a big day for Derry because your minors are in the final as well. They're playing Tyrone in the minor final as the curtain raiser. I know you're involved in underage. Tell us a little about your minor team.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a big day, Tom, because it's the first day, it's the first time in 20 years, maybe since 22 years since Derry played both games together. So, obviously, last year with a bit of success, we won the 2020 All-Ireland Minor in July 21, and that was a great success for Martin Boyle and the management. And the week later, they were dumped out by Armagh, you know, it was the COVID championship, so there was no back doors or whatever, so we're back again with a strong minor team. Look, we had a good one against Donegal. We were going really handy against Cavan last week, but maybe took our foot of the pedal a bit. So I know Tyrone had the one against Donegal on penalties. So they have a strong team. We're confident up there as well, Tom. So you know, Marty Boyle and the boys have prepared really well. So I'm expecting. Well, I'm hopeful of a minor victory and hopeful of a senior victory as well, you know. So, likes of star players wise, they've got a really strong midfield there. Dermot Peake, my own clubmate there, strong, and Rory Forbes, who's won a Macquarie Cup medal with St Mary's Marrowfelt earlier in the year. Up front, you've got Danger Man, Kieran Chambers from Blythe, a strong forward. At the back, there's a really exceptional young talent from Neil Finn McAlderney, who's another year at the minors, small but huge heart on him, you know, and a huge leap on him. So looking forward to seeing him taking the field. So no, I'm hopeful of a victory there, Tom. They're a strong wee team.
You're missing your captain as well.
Aye, young man Nicol done a cruciate against Donegal, which is really unfortunate. Now, he's a very good, a stylish player, but you know yourself, like any team that went before, whenever your star man, you lose out an injury they got there, somebody else gets a chance to step up the plate. So I've no doubt that we'll have the capability of winning without him. But look, Tyrone have been the benchmark in underage football in Ulster and indeed in Ireland for quite a number of years, so it's not going to be easy, and I'm sure this Tyrone team is no different to the one under 20s 2 weeks ago. I'm sure their minors are going to be very tough to beat, but I think sort of fact we've had to take Donegal okay, and that match went to penalties, maybe if that's an indication, maybe we should do alright here, Tom, you know.
So that's Eamon Burns on the senior game. Speaking of Tom Comack, and also we got his thoughts on that minor fixture where Derry, of course, play Tyrone. There's a 1:30 start to the minor game with a senior match up and running at 4 o'clock. Let's get more now on that minor game. And from the Tyrone perspective, Tom has also been speaking with Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald. First, however, they discussed the qualifiers draw for the Red Hand County, who play, of course, their arch rivals Armagh. It's a game Alan expects Tyrone to prevail in.
Yeah, it really is a make or break game for both counties, and Tyrone obviously going into it as All-Ireland champions, going into it wanting to really make amends for the performance and the defeat to Derry a few weeks ago. And I suppose the general opinion within the county is that it's a game for the team to really get up for, and I think Tyrone people probably believe that they are certainly capable of beating Armagh, and I suppose especially in light of the National League game and the McKenna Cup game earlier in the year. But at the same time, I think we realise also that it's going to be an extremely tough one, especially in an athletic ground that's going to be packed to the rafters with a capacity of 10, and an Armagh team that have made a lot of progress over this past year and also are going to be wanting to go out and make up for the disappointment of losing to Donegal in the first round of the Ulster Championship. So yes, it's going to be extremely close. I think Tyrone's experience and know-how will ultimately prove decisive, and you know, I think Tyrone will win it by not by a big amount, but probably by 2 or 3 points.
Much talk, or very little, I suppose, coming out of the camp, or what's the word? Any fallout from it, from that defeat by Derry?
No, there's no real fallout. The thing has gone very quiet, and I think that's probably indicative of the fact that they return to the centre at Gervais and decided, right, better put the heads down here. And by all accounts, that has been what has happened. Like, I've heard somebody mentioned to me last week that they're training four nights a week now. I don't think that's true, strictly true, but I think there is a renewed focus and a realisation that the performance against Derry in Oma wasn't up to scratch. And a wee bit like the game against Killarney last June in the National League, there's a determination to make amends, and I suppose the potential is definitely there to make amends. And I suppose that there is and has been probably a wee bit of a hangover from the All-Ireland win last year. And it's worth pointing that out, like, that, you know, the team went away on a holiday at the end of December. They came back the first week in January, went straight into the McKenna Cup, then went straight into the National League, and then straight into the Championship. So I would have no doubt that the break of, what is it, 4 weeks or 5 weeks between the Derry game and this Armagh game now on June the 4th, that break will sort of recharge the batteries, refocus the minds, and that it'll be a transformed Tyrone that will take the field against Armagh in this qualifier game.
Anyway, moving on to the minor final, as we mentioned, Tyrone, the reigning champions, facing Derry, a repeat of the league final. Tell us what you make of this Tyrone minor team.
Yeah, I suppose it's a team that has developed well over this season. Like, they won the Ulster Minor League at the beginning of April, ironically with a narrow victory over Derry. There's not an awful lot of survivors from the side which reached the All-Ireland Final and lost only by a point against Meath at Croke Park. There's only, I think, maybe five survivors from that game. But I suppose, importantly, you have the likes of Noah Grimes at centre-forward, the team captain, Owen McElhome, who, of course, is from Loughmacrory and played in that Oma CBS team. Players like that have that experience of having played in Croke Park. There's a lot of new lads as well on the panel. So I think it's, you know, their win over Donegal, albeit via penalties on Saturday night last, I think that will really galvanise them now for the challenge posed by Derry. And I suppose the thing to remember is that both counties have been so dominant at underage level over this past few years, and not just at minor level. Like, I read a figure there earlier in the week where Derry, I think, are in their fifth or sixth final in this past 7 years at minor level. And of course, we don't need to be reminded about Tyrone's progress and winning, say, the likes of the under-20 title a few weeks ago. The under-17 won the All-Ireland in 2017. The minors, of course, reaching the All-Ireland last year. So there's a lot of confidence in Tyrone at the moment about the general fortunes of their teams at underage especially. And I think that breeds a degree of confidence. And you can see that confidence within this current minor team and the way that they have sort of come back from being behind in games and, you know, and won other games quite comfortably. And I think on Sunday now that they'll be really up for this Derry game, and it's definitely going to be a close one in my view.
That's Alan Rogers, and that is almost it from the Score programme once again. Just to remind you, two big matches live here in Highland this coming weekend. Join Dermot Doherty and Gavin Cullen on Friday night for the Premier Division Northwest Derby. It's Derry City against Finn Harps, kickoff at 7:45. And then we'll be live from Clonus on Sunday, Donegal against Derry, for the Anglo-Celt Cup to be crowned Kings of Ulster. Throw-in time is at 4 o'clock. We'll have the build-up and the full match for you here in Highland as well. I'll be joined in the commentary position by Brendan Kilcoyne. We look forward to a busy weekend. Remember, if you missed any of the show tonight, you will be able to recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. From me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.